RV duel Thursday night to set the starting lineup for Sunday's Daytona 500.
You know, more of the single file stuff. Everybody wants to make sure their 500 cars make it to the 500. So I think it'll be smart, and then it just depends on weather. You know, if the sun comes out, the cars aren't going to be easy to drive. If it's overcast and cool, we can be pretty aggressive.
Tonight, catch our special 50 years of the 500 on MRN program at 7 Eastern Time on your local affiliate or at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Grimes dribbles out between the circles, going between his legs, finds Dotson on the right wing. Diedrich Common for the ball. They skip to KJ. Lawson will drive. He'll shoot and tie this game. A huge shot in the clutch by KJ Lawson.
That's as bad as you can play there for about 3 minutes. I mean, just awful. And miss every free throw, miss every opportunity, and turn it over. And I mean, not get back off a missed free throw. I mean, unbelievable. And then we screwed it up, and then we really did a great job to basically, you know, unscrew the game, to be honest with you. I mean, KJ made the unbelievable play to put it in overtime. We got the stop on the last play, and then KJ made a huge shot, probably, I think, as big a shot as it was in overtime. And then, you know, those two freshmen were just incredible. I mean, Ochai and Devon, but hopefully we're becoming a team. Our energy was good. Our enthusiasm, our attitudes were good. You know, guys fought pretty hard and somehow pulled it out.
Kansas, a gigantic win on the road last night at TCU in overtime, the final 82-77. And listen, Kansas saved the opportunity to keep their streak alive last night. That's why social media, people getting a little overly emotional, and I get it, K-State fans are overly emotional because they wanted it handed to them. They wanted TCU to beat KU and then make it super more comfortable down the stretch. Do you really think it's going to be super comfortable down the stretch in the Big 12? It's not going to be.
No.
And you can dream out all you want. Listen, this is the way you want it. To me, if you want to win a conference championship, whether you're KU, K-State, Iowa State, or Baylor, whoever it may be, you're going to have to play to the very last game of the conference season, more than likely. And to win a conference title, you shouldn't be able to just cruise to the title and win it by 4 or 5 games. Because if you do, that really tells you that the rest of the Big 12 isn't any good. It just says that there's one pretty good team, and then there's a whole bunch of teams that are average. So you want there to be a challenge. Now, I get the passion the K-State fans have. They want to end KU's streak. They want to be the ones to end it. Listen, you don't have to quit worrying about Kansas. I mean, seriously, quit worrying about what Kansas is doing right now. You're not behind them in the standings. All you have to do is if you win the rest of your games, you are the Big 12 champion, outright.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Now, you can sit here and say, well, I don't think we're going to win the rest of the games. Okay, fine. Do you think Kansas is going to win the rest of theirs? Because I don't think they are. I think Kansas is going to probably lose one. Okay, 13-5. If Kansas would lose just one game the rest of the way and they beat K-State head-to-head, KU would be 13-5. K-State right now is 9-2. And if they lose to KU, okay, say at 9-3. All they've got to do is go 4-2, and they win a share of the title. And they go 5-1 in those games, they win it outright. And that's assuming KU would beat K-State head-to-head in Lawrence, which we don't know. And it's assuming that Kansas would only lose one more game the rest of the season. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, has told us 12-6. Well, if it's 12-6, all K-State has to do the rest of the way is get the 13 wins. That's 4-3 over your last seven. Why can't you go 4-3 in your last seven when you just won 9 in a row? That seems fairly doable.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what happens is K-State fans have this fear, I think, that there's going to be a losing streak for their team. They're not all in yet on this team for K-State. They're not all in yet. It's nice. K-State's 9-2. This is nice. We've won 9 in a row. This is sweet. And we're in first place by a game and a half. Now it's a game. But if you win tonight, it's back to a game and a half over Kansas. So listen, even if K-State wins out and loses in Lawrence, that's a tie for the title. And do we think Kansas is going to win out? And right now, K-State has 2 losses, so that's not right. If K-State wins out and loses at Lawrence, they win the title outright still because they have 2 losses and KU has 4. So KU might get 1 back, but they can't get 2 back by beating K-State because they already lost in Manhattan. So I understand the whole complex. I get it. Well, we're worried about Kansas, and that Kansas is the big bad bully on the block. They are, but you're not looking up at them like you usually are. You are on top of the Big 12 by a full game. You've earned that. You've won at Iowa State. You've won at Oklahoma when they're ranked. You just won at Baylor. You beat KU at home. You're the best in the Big 12. Start believing it. And I don't think K-State fans believe it. I think all this fear that you see on social media and always worried about Kansas, and I understand, people look at Kansas like some people look at the Yankees or Duke, you know, teams that always are winning it every year. And you're sick of it, the Patriots. You're sick of it, and you love to see them lose. I get that part. I do. I get that part. But if you're worried about KU last night because of the Big 12 championship as K-Staters, listen, just take care of your own business. That's the beautiful thing right now. You don't even need to worry about Kansas. If you win tonight at Texas, guess what? You have the same lead you had yesterday before Kansas won. And do you really think Kansas was going to lose that game last night? Maybe you did. Kansas up 12 with 9 minutes to go. They're up 9 with 4:51 to go. And then they honestly started gagging it away. And then I saw criticism of TCU. Well, TCU was choking the game away. Did you watch the whole game? Because Kansas missed 5 consecutive free throws, 3 front ends of 1-on-1s, 2 by two of their best players, Dotson and Lawson, and turned it over 4 straight possessions. Bill Self watched the game. He had a good seat. He said, "We screwed up the game, and somehow we were able to unscrew it." His words, not mine. So TCU didn't choke anything. TCU didn't choke anything. Kansas choked, but recovered. So we don't talk about a choke because they won the game. But Kansas was choking. I mean, they were turning the ball over, making some bad passes, clanking free throws. Mitch Lightfoot's free throw was lucky to hit the rim, for crying out loud. Yeah. I mean, you had your best players missing free throws, and you gather out of all that TCU choked? No, that's because you really, really, really wanted Kansas to lose. So you want to scream at TCU for not doing the job. Did you really count on a team that's 5-5 in Big 12 play to knock off Kansas at home? Because if you were counting on that, wow, that's all I got to say. It isn't Iowa State and Ames. This is TCU, okay? A decent team, a decent program that is nowhere really quite ready to be considered the best of the best in the Big 12. Anybody going to disagree with that?
No.
So if you're counting on TCU to win last night, and then the fact that they were down 12, if you really were counting on TCU to win last night, that was fool's gold. It was just put in your head because KU, honestly, played horribly for 3 minutes. And if you watch the game, you cannot argue that point.
Oh, no.
Did you see it? Were you watching?
Yeah.
11-0 run, missed 2 free throws and did attempt a field goal.
But I had it on and I was paying attention to it and watching it and seeing KU
4 straight turnovers.
Lose a 9-point lead and just have it evaporate.
It was gone. Yeah. They lost a 9-point lead and were down 4. That was a 13-point swing in a span of about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's because Kansas was gagging. I mean, they really were. I mean, Dotson, Robinson got physical with him. He turned the ball over a couple times. You got freshmen out on the floor. No excuses. You know, Boston missed the key front end of a 1-on-1. Lightfoot bricked one. I mean, Kansas took some questionable shots when they did not turn it over. It was bad basketball. Mm-hmm. And so, but after the game, you know, it's funny because then I see the social media stuff and it's all the angst and it's directed at TCU. I'm like, you know, by the way, Kansas, even with the guys fouling out, still had just as much talent on the floor at the end of the game as TCU.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas still a pretty talented team, you know, and they had no Garrett, no Azubuike, of course. They had 3 guys foul out, not 1, not 2, but 3. Grimes, Lightfoot, and Lawson. David McCormick, a freshman, was their 5 on the floor in crunch time in the last 3 minutes of overtime. And Kansas led by 2 when Lawson fouled out, or 1. And you're sitting there going, probably as a KU fan, go, oh, well, that's it. We're not going to win. And then KJ Lawson came up big. McCormick got a couple of big rebounds. And then Dotson was unbelievable. He played all 45 minutes last night. Every single second, a freshman at point guard. 45 minutes, 25 points. And then Abaji is unbelievable. What a find. And Bill Self said, I messed up. I should have been playing him all year. Mm-hmm. He's better than Grimes. It's not even close. And and he played 41 minutes. He had 20 points. He had some big plays. This is what defending champions are supposed to do. This is why Kansas has won it 14 straight years in a row. And people can get mad about it or not, but it's a fact. Kansas wins games like that when they really, really have to. And so far this year on the road, they haven't. But it's not too late to figure it out. Mm. Or is it? It could be too late to figure it out. Because if K-State runs the table here and just loses in Lawrence, then KU's going to go back and go, what if we would have closed that game at West Virginia? Think about the Big 12 race right now. You know the difference in this Big 12 race is pretty simple. West Virginia blew a 21-point lead in Manhattan. K-State rallied, came back to their credit, won when they should have lost that game. And KU had a 6-point lead with 2:30 to go in Morgantown and didn't score a point the rest of the game. If those games go the other way like they should have, let's be honest, you're up 21, you should win the game. You're up 6 with 2.5 to go like Kansas, you should win the game. Had those games gone the way they should have, Kansas State would be 8-3, and KU would be 9-3. KU would have a half game lead in the Big 12 race. So it sounds crazy, but West Virginia has helped determine who's leading this race right now. Isn't that weird when you really think about it? The last place team had just dismissed two of their better players yesterday, and KU gets them next at home in Lawrence. So KU is going to be 9-4, I would think, in conference play and win on Saturday. That puts the pressure. Here's the thing. I think some K-State fans wanted K-State to just cruise to the Big 12 title, and I get it. As a fan of any team that I cheer for, I want them to cruise too. You know, when the Chiefs lost to the Chargers, I'm like, well, shoot, we won that. We could have rested everybody for two games. And I thought that might not be a good thing because then you rest two games, then you got to bye 3 weeks where your starters aren't playing very much. That could be a bad thing going into the AFC divisional playoff game, right? So losing the Chargers wasn't the end of the world. And the Chiefs had to earn it. They had to work hard to get it. And he got some help because Chargers lost the very next week to Baltimore. Well, in order to win the Big 12 or really any conference championship, you're really going to have to earn it. And Kansas has at least, for now, put a little bit of pressure on K-State tonight at Texas. But having said that, if K-State loses tonight at Texas, are we going to start jumping off the cliff? And there'll be K-State fans. They'll do it. You know it. K-State losing tonight at Texas, K-State fans will be like, KU's going to win it again. You still have the lead in the Big 12. No matter what K-State does tonight, they will lead the Big 12 after their game in Austin. And yet, you go watch social media tonight. You follow anybody that does anything with K-State, and you know what you're going to see. Am I right? It's going to be, oh my God, KU won at TCU, which isn't the greatest road win ever, by the way. It's a great win for Kansas considering their situation. But do you think winning at TCU is a marquee win in the Big 12? Probably not. Okay, so you're going to freak out because they won at TCU in overtime. And then K-State fans are going to freak out if they lose tonight to Texas and they're going to act like they're in third place. Quit all the fear. If you lose tonight at Texas, guess what? Kansas lost at Texas too. You still have a one-game lead over Kansas if you lose tonight. And you play Iowa State at home. You beat Iowa State at home, then you've probably made it a two-team race, which I think it is anyway, KU and K-State. It's all there in front of Kansas State. You do not have to even, if I'm Bruce Weber, I'm telling my kids, don't worry about Kansas. Focus on what we have ahead of us. All we have to do, guys, is keep doing what we've been doing. Just win. Al Davis said it, just win, baby. That's what K-State's doing. I don't care if it's 42-40 tonight. If K-State wins, guess what? They'll have a game and a half lead in the Big 12, right?
Yeah.
So go out and do it. If you want to win the conference, go out and win at Texas. If you don't, not the end of the world. You'd have a half game lead if you lose tonight to Texas. If you win, you have a game and a half lead, just where you had yesterday.
You have a half game, and you've already got a game on the team
right
behind you.
Right.
So
now and you've won at places that Kansas hasn't. You've won at Iowa State. Kansas hasn't won there. You won at Oklahoma. KU still got to go to Oklahoma. Now, granted, KU won at TCU. K-State hasn't gone to TCU yet.
Yeah.
You know? KU lost at West Virginia. If K-State wins at West Virginia, that's a leg up on Kansas.
Yeah.
So there's so much more games to play, but it's going to be freak out. It's going to be freak out tonight if K-State loses. You know it.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll still lead the Big 12.
Yeah.
They can look horrible tonight and lose by 30. They'll still lead the Big 12. And it will be just, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? Well, you know, you win, what, 8 in a row. I said 9 in a row. If you win 8 in a row, you're kind of due to lose one, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't have any dreams that K-State's going to win 14 games in a row in the conference.
No, I wouldn't think so. 14-2. No, but technically, they have that.
I mean, 16 in a row, actually, and finished 16-2. Mm-hmm. I don't have any aspirations or dreams of that. They can do it. It's on the table for them.
Listen, they go 6-2. They're 14-4. Do you think that's going to be outright? I would say so. I don't think Kansas is running the table.
No. And Baylor's not running the table.
No. And Iowa State isn't, because you're going to beat them.
Yeah, I guess you'd play Baylor and hopefully beat them at home. If you
got
them,
you got Baylor, Iowa State at home.
Yeah.
You're already
the
done
schedule's
with
not. They played a lot of tough games already on their schedule.
That's the scary thing in K-State, though. KU has the weaker part of their schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They got to go to Lubbock, and that's about the only tough game. Although, you know, at Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State, Kansas is capable of losing a game like that.
Yeah. I mean, they lost at West Virginia.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not – I mean, listen, I'm watching the game. I wanted TC to win for the purpose of
right.
K-State
and
having a little bit more comfortable lead in the Big 12.
I get that. But then just being mad and screaming at TCU because they lost.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lose my mind because KU came back and won. I mean, like you said, I mean, there's still a game and a half up in the standings right now.
Yeah.
So if they win tonight, they're, you know, whatever it is, I guess they're probably a full game right now in the standings. There's a game
they're
and a half
game up
they
right
win
now.
Tonight. So, but, you know, you're two up in the loss column, basically.
Absolutely. And you beat them head-to-head.
Yeah, and you've beaten them head-to-head. So right now it's not the time to freak out or anything like that. I mean, yeah, you're disappointed. Like I said, I wanted TCU to win based on where it would have helped us in the standings as a K-State fan.
I get that, but do I have to get personal towards TCU and talk about Jamie Dixon choking? And I mean, he's a really good coach, by the way. He's choked, and I don't know. I guess it's not Jamie Dixon that went out there and, you know, didn't get a shot off. I guess that's Jamie Dixon's fault because he plays. I thought he coached. You know, it just, you know, TCU choked free throws, TCU's horrible offense. I'm like, well, did you see Kansas for 3.5 minutes?
Yeah.
We just forget that.
Yeah.
It's like TCU should have had no business even having a chance to win.
No, they shouldn't have. Not at all.
But then we blame TCU because, as a K-State fan, you wanted them to win. How about just going, oh, I really wanted them to win, but Kansas found a way. Okay, fine. Let's go beat Texas. Instead, it's, God dang it, TCU! Wait a minute. I know they wear purple and white, but they are not K-State. You don't care if TCU wins any other game. It's just the versus Kansas. That's the rivalry. I get it. I'm not saying there's wrong.
Well, then the
I'm not saying it's wrong to be upset, but don't make it personal against TCU.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't make it personal against TCU.
Yeah, right? I think like every year, K-State fans would want TCU to beat KU.
K-State fans want anybody that plays KU to beat KU. I get that.
Yeah. But
to be making it all like Jamie Dixon's a horrible coach,
and
they choked at the end, and they missed a whole bunch of free throws, and they turned the ball over. Dude, Kansas did all that to allow TCU to have the lead in the first place. TCU should have never been in that situation.
Yeah.
Never. And you're counting on them to finish a game at home against Kansas, who has to win to probably keep their Big 12 hopes alive? I mean, if you as a K-State fan expected TCU to win last night, man, you're very optimistic. Maybe that's why you're so mad, because you were way over-optimistic going into this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think Kansas was going to lose that game last night, because I knew it's Kansas rallies the wagon, man. They circle the wagons when they're in these situations year after year after year. We see it for 14 straight years. They did it again last night. Now, K-State fans and other fans of the Big 12 are going to overreact and go, oh, my God, they figured it all out. They won a game on the road, and now they're just going to run the table. And maybe they will. Maybe they will. But they still got flaws, man.
Oh, without question.
They got too many flaws to go 14-4 and win their last six. That's just my opinion. I think they could go 13-5. But 14-4, that would mean they'd have to win 8 in a row in this conference, and you can see how hard it is for K-State to do that. I guess it's possible. Maybe that's why K-State fans are going to freak out. They think KU's going to win the last 6 conference games. And by the way, why do you think you automatically going to lose in Lawrence? That's already a defeatist attitude, because at some point you're going to lose a game because you won 8 in a row, and at some point you're going to win a game in Lawrence.
Yeah.
If Jim Woldridge can win in Lawrence, anything's possible.
It is. I think part of that is what's happened the last 2 years in Lawrence, where you feel like you might get a win, and then it just falls apart in the end.
And two ways to look at it. The optimist will say, well, we've been very, very close. We're going to finally break through. And the pessimist is going to say, we're going to lose by 30.
The pessimist says that Kansas is not going to let you stick in there 3 years in a row. And that's, you know, as I'm looking at it.
But this Kansas team isn't that good to blow out people.
No,
they haven't blown out anybody, really.
Yeah.
Texas Tech by 16 is their best game in conference.
Yeah.
So, and they hit a whole bunch of threes that day. That's the only way they're going to blow anybody out. They get hot and make a whole bunch of threes. And even then, they ain't going to win by 30.
No.
You know, against anybody, I don't think. Maybe West Virginia this weekend, but I don't know. I think K-State fans, I'm trying to plead to the K-State fans out there, don't lose sight of what you have in front of you. Just because Kansas won a game at TCU doesn't mean you're not going to win the Big 12.
Yeah.
Quit acting like the sky is falling. You didn't even play! If you lose tonight, you still, the sky's not falling. Now, if you lose tonight and to Iowa State, I don't think the sky is falling. I think you're still in pretty decent shape, but then your advantage is gone probably.
Yeah.
You know, what you worked for. But it's still anybody's race from there. I mean, if K-State loses next two, they'd be 8-4. KU beats West Virginia 9-4. You still get to play KU head-to-head one more time, and KU still got to go to Lubbock. So, you know, it's not over if that even happens. But, oh, believe me, if they lose the next two, everything K-State did up to this point will be just forgotten. I guess I'm more optimistic for K-State than K-Staters are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
It seems like it. It's like you guys are waiting for the worst thing to happen.
But I'm not waiting for the worst thing to happen as a K-State fan. That's as a Big 12 historian, not, knowing what happened. I mean, Texas Tech was up two games at one point last year against
KU. And they also had a key injury to the point guard.
They did.
That should be thrown out there. But they would not have blown that lead.
Yeah, but what happens, though, is they had an injury, and they didn't win the conference.
Right.
So you think there's anything can go wrong, Will.
Are you waiting for Wade or Brown to get hurt?
Yeah, I mean, you're waiting for something to happen.
Which wouldn't be K-State's fault.
Yeah, and it wasn't Texas Tech's fault.
Right,
and we know that.
Right.
We've documented that.
And how many times has K-State helped KU in this stretch where they've beaten teams that needed to beat K-State to win the Big 12?
Yeah.
K-State's helped KU win a few titles by winning a few of those games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what goes into my mind. It has nothing to do with this year.
Yeah.
It has to do with everything in the past where KU always does something, and something always happens to the team that's ahead of KU.
Right.
And KU always gets at least a share of that and part of the glory here. So that's what is going through my mind. It has nothing to do
with
it.
But how many times has K-State over those years, the 14 years, how many times has K-State actually been in that position to knock off Kansas from the throne? Not very many times.
Just once.
Once. Okay.
When they tied them.
And they tied them.
And they lost
both
games.
So there's no history. I get the history when you can think, as a Chiefs fan, there's a history of choking the playoffs. There's no history of K-State gagging leads in the Big 12. But K-State, so K-State fans are worried because the Big 12 has a history of gagging leads and Kansas finds a way to win the Big 12. What's that got to do with Kansas State personally? Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
And it wouldn't have anything, and I don't think K-State fans would think about it if this was Texas that was on a 14-game conference run.
Right.
But it's your rival, and you're always looking at what they're doing because you want to be better than
them. Well, I get that.
And so that's why.
But you better not count on somebody else to beat your rival. Here's the thing. If you got to count on somebody else to beat your rival, you're in a bad position. And that's the thing. The K-State fans are counting on somebody to beat KU and beat their rival. You don't need them to. That's my point. Kansas needs K-State to lose to somebody.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they're looking up at K-State. And usually it's the other way around. And it's different being the front runner, isn't it? I don't think people quite understand how to handle being a front runner in the Big 12 because nobody else does it except Kansas very well.
Yeah.
And that's probably part of the angst that you're talking about.
100%.
Yeah,
like
right.
I said, it has nothing to do with K-State for
so
me.
So it should have nothing to do with yelling and screaming at Jamie Dixon and TCU, really. I mean, personally.
No.
You know, it should just be like, oh, well, they had an opportunity. They could have beat Kansas. They didn't. Oh, we still have one game lead, and we play Texas tonight. But instead, it's like, oh, my God, Kansas won a road game. We're in trouble. Yeah, I mean, reading some of the comments on social media last night, I swear to God, I think Kansas won the Big 12 last night.
Yeah.
I did not know it's over after 10 or 12 games. I had no idea. I thought they played. Don't they play 18 conference games? Maybe I've been misinformed. Anyway. Okay, high school basketball tonight. Here's a fun example of how high school hoops have changed. Found this on Twitter. I tagged Dusty on this. Shauna Porter, who is now Shauna Remus, the girls' head basketball coach at Beloit High, scored 63 points on December 9th, 1996. Let me repeat. She scored 63 points in a high school game, Wakanda East against St. John's. Which St. John's are like, thanks for bringing that up. But they won. St. John's won, so it's okay. How's that? You score 63 in a game and you lose. And Shauna said afterwards to the paper, listen, you know, I would have rather won. It's great that I scored, but we lost. I'm not very happy about that. Well, that's good. You don't want Shauna to come out after the game going, hey, I scored 63. It's a new state record. Yay! Yeah, your team lost. Oh, I don't care. No, she was a team player and she wanted to win. So they lost 85-81. That was the girls' final score in 1996, Wakanda East and St. John's. Shauna Porter, now Rima, scored 63 in that game. To put this in perspective to show you how much high school basketball has changed, are you ready for this? She is the head coach of the Beloit girls' basketball team. How many times do you think in 17 games so far this year the Beloit girls have scored 63 or more as a team? Out of 17 games.
I'm trying to think back of their scores. Have they done it?
Yes.
I'm going to say once.
Twice.
Twice.
Only two times in 17 games this year has the Beloit girls scored 63 or more points. I'm not trying to make fun of the girls.
That's just the way
proving
high school basketball is right now.
Shauna Remus, Shauna Porter at the time, Wakanda East, scored 63 in a game. That was the state record for girls basketball. She broke Jackie Stiles' record. And 2 games later, I think it was, or 2 weeks later, Jackie Stiles re-broke the record and scored 71 against Maxville. So Shauna doesn't have the record, but she did for a couple of weeks. Shauna Porter had the record. And she went to Fort Hays State, Hall of Fame player at Fort Hays State. Pretty good player, obviously. Okay, so now put this in more perspective. So the Beloit girls have scored 63 or more in just 2 times in 17 games. And yet they have a really good record, okay? How many times do you think the Beloit boys, who are ranked 3rd in the state now in the KBCA in Class 3A, how many times do you think the boys in 17 games have scored 63 or more? Shauna did it in 1 game by herself.
I'm going to say 4.
6.
6, okay.
So only 33% of the time the Beloit boys have scored 63 or more, Shauna Remus did it by herself in a game. It just goes to show you, you don't see these high-scoring games hardly anymore.
No.
Back in my day, and I played about the same time Shauna did, we scored, it was in the 80s. Games were in the 70s and 80s. I mean, teams averaged 63, 65, 70 points a game. You just don't see it anymore.
No.
I can't tell you why that is for sure. I don't know if the rules have changed. I don't know if the athletes aren't as good. I don't know if the teams can't shoot as well. I don't know if defenses are better. I really can't put my finger on it. But maybe it's kids specializing in other sports and they're spread too thin. And they don't focus on basketball like they used to. I don't know. Maybe the fundamentals aren't as good. Maybe the coaching isn't as good. Maybe the coaching is better and the players aren't as good. I have no clue. But that's a great example, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Shauna Porter scored 63 in a game in 1996, which was 22 years ago. Sorry, Shauna, if she's listening. 22 years ago, and only 2 times in 17 games of the Beloit girls scored 63 or more, and they're a winning team. They're not a bad team at all. And the Beloit boys, who are ranked 3rd in the state, have only scored 63 or more 6 times. Now, granted, they're really good defensively, only giving up 43 a game. But still, it just goes to show you how the game's changed.
Oh, without question. I had a game where the guy for Burton scored 53 points and his team lost by 19. So yes. It doesn't always guarantee you when you score that many points in a game that you're going to win. But that was obviously a better team, I think, probably that Wakanda East girls team than with Shauna on it, than what Burton was with Alex Santiago.
But
they're also playing Hanover that day at the state tournament, who was outstanding and scored 85 points in that game, by the way. So even back then it was a little bit higher than it is now scoring. And I think that's
and he got key. Some garbage points, too.
I think the big key, though, is the teams you're talking about and who they have offensively. Because Osborne right now, their last 6 games are probably averaging about 68, 69 points a game. But they've got athletes. They've got kids. And they've got kids that have played a long time that have developed. And now they have an offense that they can work and be very efficient at it. I think a lot of it's coaching and style, how you want to play the game. Matt Hestings' teams didn't score a lot because they were deliberate with what they wanted to do. There's a change in philosophy sometimes with coaches and how they think they can win more games and be more successful. And I think that's a lot of it with where we're at today in high school basketball. And I think there's more of that trend of we want to cherish the possession and get a good shot. And I'm not saying the old teams weren't getting good shots. It's just that they're not working the offense as quick. And that's the biggest thing for me. And I think a lot of teams are not shooting free throws well right now.
No, that's another thing.
And percentages are way down. If you make more than free throws, obviously you can have more points.
Right.
So most of the teams that I cover,
I think the game's more physical now and the refs don't call as much, so you don't get the line as much, so you don't score either.
That's part of it, too. Yeah, and team free throw percentages are about 53% on average right now for me.
That's not good.
No, it's not. It's not even close to good.
No.
So I think that's part of it, too. And I have talked with a couple coaches about that this year. Are they working on free throws other than what you're doing
outside
in practice?
Exactly.
Yeah. I know you're working on it in practice. Right. I'm not doubting that you're working on free throws in practice. But are people, because I did, I'd go up and shoot 100 free throws a day.
I believe there's more distractions now than ever before for kids, video games.
Exactly.
And then they're torn playing 2 sports in the same season. Which I think that hurts them focusing on 1 sport while they're doing 2 during the regular school season. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm just saying obviously the law of averages, you're going to be, one, you might be tired. You might not have as much time to work on your game because you're doing 2 sports at the same time. You're doing a club sport. You're doing a regular sport. I think that impacts the scoring as well. I think there's all kinds of contributing factors, and I think you make some really good points. Max, I doubt if you played defense. And Wakanda, when we scored 80, we didn't play defense. We won games 85-82. Yeah. We had a game where we won 100-90. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
We played Ness City. We had a high school varsity game. I
remember being at that game.
We beat Ness City 100-90. That was the final score. Look it up. We had 1 year, I think I looked it up, that year, my freshman year, when we were 19-3, Wakanda was, we lost the sub-state finals. I think the final of that game was 87-84, I think. We Waukini, the Waukini boys scored, I think, 85 or more six times. We averaged like almost, I don't know if we averaged 80, but we averaged in the mid-70s for sure. And we gave up about the same amount.
Yeah,
we gave up a lot of points. We did blow out some teams. We did, because we're 19-3. We were good. We were real good. We should have been at state, but we didn't get it done in the final game. But it is, maybe that's it too. Maybe teams play better defense. We're focused on offense isn't good. Maybe defense is better than it was back in the day. But that would tie to the referees too. If they called it tighter then and now it's looser now, that would attribute to that too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because you get away with hacking a little bit. So,
obviously, going to Sacred Heart on Tuesday is going to be a big game, and the kids are looking forward to it. And it was a great game here in Beloit, and it'll be a battle over there at Sacred Heart.
Beloit versus Sacred Heart. Beloit number 3 in Class 3A. New KBCA rankings coming out. People came to their senses, must have listened to our show and realized, oh, yeah, Beloit beat Phillipsburg. Sure, put Beloit ahead of Phillipsburg in the rankings. Not that it truly matters that much. Beloit ended Sacred Heart's 45-game winning streak in the league a few weeks ago, and now they meet again in Salina tonight. Beloit wins. They will win the league title outright. If they lose, then they beat Minneapolis on Friday. They at least get a share of the league title. So it's not the end of the world if they lose tonight. They can still get a share of the title. Or maybe outright if Sacred Heart get upset coming up on Friday. But Beloit would win it tonight. There'd be no doubts about it. And Sacred Heart had won 8 in a row against Beloit until Beloit beat them recently there in Beloit. And that's a big game tonight. You can watch it at nckisports.com with a live video stream via the Beloit Trojan channel. Also, the girls' game is important, especially from a sub-state seeding perspective for the Beloit Lady Trojans, as they're 11-6, take on Sacred Heart, a team that had them on the ropes in Beloit a few weeks ago, but then Beloit rallied in the girls' game to win. So Beloit at Sacred Heart tonight, nckisports.com, via the Beloit Trojan channel with the live video stream. Always a pretty good rivalry. St. John's Tipton and Pike Valley tonight. Dusty, you'll have the call on the road tonight on KD Country 94.
Yeah, and St. John's Tipton definitely be favorites tonight. Girls are 14-2, 8-1. Pike Valley's 4-11, 3-5. And then the boys' side, St. John's Tipton 14-3 and 9-1. Pike Valley 7-9, 4-5 in the league. So definitely favorites tonight for St. John's Tipton Webb. Girls pregame coverage beginning around 5:50 and tip off at 6. With the boys to follow from Cortland here this evening. So we're looking forward to those games here tonight on KD Country 94. Other games going on this evening, Lakeside at Wilson, Osborne at Sylvan Lucas, and Thunder Ridge at Lincoln in the Northern Plains League. Rock Hills was scheduled to be at Southern Cloud tonight, but those games will not take place because Rock Hills doesn't have school today, so they can't travel if they don't go to school. Coaches, I confirmed that with the boys' coach, and he's not real happy about it. Let's just put it that way.
They want to play, man. Exactly. They want to play.
He's already lost some games. Well, he lost Monday
night. Players want to play,
too. He lost
a
game because they didn't go down to the tournament. Mm-hmm. So he's lost at least two games already, so now this will be a third.
Yeah.
And they're a team that's fighting for that position that you were talking about with regional seeding. So, you know, it's not good there from that aspect. But I understand the safety of the kids.
Yes,
really.
You don't chance
I'm not
anything.
Gonna,
yeah.
I'm not going to, like, discredit what Rock Hills did today.
No,
but I know
athletics should not be more important than safety of the kids. You're right.
No, not at all. Right. So, but that's the situation with Rock Hills at Southern Cloud. That's canceled tonight. And, like, there's no time, really, for teams to be trying to reschedule within the last now 3 days. That they can do that before regionals start next week. So I would imagine that those games will not take place this season with Rock Hills at Southern Cloud. So also a non-league game tonight, a makeup game. Smith Center is hosting Russell here this evening. So that's our look at high school basketball.
Okay, the latest KBCA rankings. Well, it is 3rd and 3 on the boys' side. Where's Sacred Heart in 2A?
They're 6.
They're still 6, yeah. So they were a few weeks ago. Okay.
Yeah, and Hutch Trinity, who Beloit beats number 1 there in 2A.
They're number 1 in 2A?
Yep.
Yeah, because they beat Enman the other day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that was kind of, Osborne's still number 8 in 1A boys.
Which they shouldn't be.
It's ridiculous, but again, these rankings don't mean a whole lot right now. We talked about it yesterday. You got to go out on the court and prove it and play. So Central Plains number 1 in both girls and boys in 1A. No surprise there. Trigo still number 1 in 2A girls. And Norton's number 7 in 3A girls from the Mid-Continent League. So
right.
Some of the area teams that are involved in that in the full rankings are at nckisports.com.
Yep, along with the wrestling rankings. And also we'll have regional wrestling reports coming up on Friday and Saturday from Beloit High School, our area wrestling teams trying to qualify for state. And they'll do that at Beloit High coming up on Friday and Saturday. Top 25 college men's basketball poll released yesterday. Tennessee stays 1 for the 4th straight week. Duke 2, Gonzaga 3, Virginia 4, Kentucky 5. Tennessee at Kentucky Saturday night. That should be a great one. Nevada 6, Michigan 7, North Carolina 8, Houston up to 9. Marquette is 10 after barely beating Villanova. Purdue 11, Michigan State 12, Villanova 13, and KU, the first Big 12 team in the rankings at 14, Texas Tech at 15, and then K-State into the rankings for the first time in a while. They are all the way up at 18, and Iowa State is at 22. So you have four Big 12 teams in the rankings. Now, if you're a K-State fan, trust me, I get it. Wait a minute. We beat Kansas. How are we not ranked ahead of Kansas? I do get that. Kansas fans can come back and go, we beat Villanova head-to-head. Why aren't we ranked ahead of Villanova? Kansas also beat Tennessee head-to-head.
They beat the number one team in the country.
Tennessee's only loss is to Kansas. So based on the rationale of we're K-State, we beat Kansas, we should be ranked ahead of them. We're KU, we beat Villanova, we should be ahead of them. Based on that rationale, KU should be the number one team in the country because they're the only team to beat the number one team in the country, yeah, which is Tennessee.
It's not how this works.
That's not how it works. It's the body of work. It's the, okay, to take that, it must be really important. Kansas is 14th, K-State is 18th. And listen, if K-State wins two games this week and they beat Iowa State, a ranked team, at home on Saturday, it's possible K-State could jump KU in the rankings, although I would think they'll probably still be behind KU in the rankings. It'd be real close. Once again, the rankings don't mean a lot, though. It comes down to how you're seated when the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee reads your body of work. They don't go, oh, hey, such and such ranked 14th, such and such ranked 18th, we're going to give them a 3-seed or a 5-seed. That's not how that works. And we've talked about it before. Gonzaga was ranked 6th in the country at the end of one regular season. They got a 6-seed in the NCAA Tournament based on their resume and who they played. And Kansas has some really, really good wins this year. We've talked about it. They beat Michigan State. That's a top 10 team, although right now they're not. They're 12. They beat Tennessee, the number one team in the land, the only team to beat Tennessee this year. So Kansas has some really high-quality wins. They beat Villanova, who's ranked 13th. K-State doesn't have that type of resume. So that's part of the reason why they're ranked below Kansas. But then again, at the same time, if K-State wins the Big 12, depending on who they lose to and everything else, I could see K-State still would maybe be ranked ahead of Kansas. At the end of the day, once again, rankings don't matter. It's going to depend on what the committee does. And, hey, okay, Kansas got second in the Big 12. K-State won the Big 12. Why is Kansas a 3-seed and K-State's a 4-seed? Because it's the complete body of work that they look at. K-State has not beaten Tennessee. They've not beaten Michigan State. They haven't played the schedule that Kansas has had as a whole. And that's not to say Kansas State's not a good team. It's just the way you seed it. You look at everybody's body of work. It's not about the conference season. That's part of the equation. But Kansas has a very, very good non-conference schedule. A lot of those games, of course, neutral sites. And they have some marquee wins that K-State doesn't have. So don't be shocked if you're a KU or a K-State fan. At the end of the year, if K-State does win the Big 12 title and they win it outright, and Kansas still has a higher seed. Because I can hear the angst already. Well, that's just not right. That's a bunch of baloney. Well, they don't just judge you on your 18 conference games. They judge you on all your games. Kansas doesn't have a one-point loss at Tulsa. Kansas doesn't have a loss to a 7-10 team at the time at A&M. That will be factored in. I mean, what bad loss does Kansas have? It's West Virginia on the road. That's their bad loss. Can you have a bad loss and cancel that out with some great wins? Absolutely. If K-State wins the Big 12, they're going to be cut some slack for those couple of bad losses. And they'll get seeded probably, I would think, if they win the Big 12, K-State will be seeded, I would think, no worse than 4 or 5. And maybe even up to 3, depending on how they finish in the Big 12. But don't be shocked if Kansas has a higher seed than K-State, even if K-State wins the Big 12 title. Because we got to remember, everything you did before the Big 12 season still counts. And K-State's non-con is nothing compared to KU's. And there's no K-Stater in the world that can argue that point. No. If you do, you're just arguing to argue.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I had a lot of that stuff on Twitter yesterday. Like, why is K-State not ahead of KU? Well,
it's pretty simple.
KU beat the number one team in the country and didn't lose at Texas A&M and Tulsa.
And they beat Michigan State, who was in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, but I can make that. That's all the argument I need to make. I don't need to add to the fact that they beat Villanova and Michigan State.
No.
All I need to say
that's true.
Is they beat the number one team in the country.
On a neutral floor.
and did not lose at Tulsa and Texas A&M.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
All I need to say.
I agree with you. You're right about that. Once again, we'll find out when the seeds come out. Don't get caught up in the rankings too much. It's just fun. The Chiefs, Kareem Hunt. No, he's not a Chief anymore. Ex-Chief Kareem Hunt has found a new team. It's the Cleveland Browns. Former Chiefs GM John Dorsey, who drafted Hunt when he was a GM at Kansas City, decided to take a chance on Hunt, and he says Hunt has to earn the Browns' trust.
Once he understands his situation, he is now working towards being a better man moving forward. By no means, from an organizational standpoint, is this a guarantee of anything. As we all know, trust has to be earned, and that has to be earned with the Cleveland Browns organization and the community of Cleveland moving forward. So this will be a day-to-day thing in terms of earning trust.
I'm kind of conflicted on this. First of all, I think it's a really good situation for Kareem Hunt. He's going to go back home. He's from the Ohio area, of course. As we know, when the Chiefs played the Browns early this year, he might have a really good support system in place. His problem is not hurting women, okay? That's not his issue. I understand there was an incident that was caught on film. It was a shoving match, okay? It wasn't a fist fight or anything like that. It was not domestic violence. That was not his girlfriend, a wife, or anything like that, okay? They met, all these people got together as a group at one point or another, met each other and at a club. The problem Kareem Hunt has is alcohol, all right? And he's got at least three documented instances where he's lost his temper while he had or drank too much alcohol. He needs help for alcohol. You could maybe say he's an alcoholic. If he can deal with that in the right way, this is a steal for the Cleveland Browns. You know, a lot of people, it's been hard to decipher, but now, Tyreek Hill, what Tyreek Hill did was much worse than anything Kareem Hunt's ever done.
Oh, yeah.
But Tyreek Hill did it before he was a Chief, and the Chiefs have some pretty strict guidelines on Tyreek Hill, and they took a flyer on him in the fifth round. They got him. It's worked out. He's been a model citizen, and Kansas City fans suddenly have forgot all about the horrible thing he did. Well, Tyreek Hill got a second chance. I'm all for second chances for people if they can take advantage of them. But I am conflicted because I like Kareem Hunt as a player. He seems like a great player, a great teammate. But he does have a problem that he needs to deal with. And if he can fix that problem, which is drinking too much alcohol and losing his temper too many times, then I believe he deserves a second chance. Here's the problem, though. Everybody keeps saying it's a second chance. It's a second chance to play in the NFL, but that technically is not right either. The Chiefs were aware of the first and second instances. He had three chances in Kansas City. People gloss over that.
Yeah.
He had three chances. He didn't clean up his act until something was caught on film. So he knew he had a problem, didn't address it, because
well,
it was never caught on
about
film.
What happened?
Absolutely,
it wasn't. He didn't know there was film.
Right, right. So he lied, and he knew he had a problem, and his friends knew he had a problem, and then he lied about it. So he's had more than one chance. This is not his second chance. This is probably his fifth or sixth chance.
Second team, but not second chance.
Right. And so I don't like when John Dorsey and other people say, "Well, you know, we're giving him a second chance." The media, well, he's getting a second chance. Everybody deserves a second chance. This is his fourth, fifth, or sixth chance. Which I'm not saying you don't deserve a fourth or fifth or sixth chance, but a lot of people don't get a second chance.
That's what I always
said. But he's a talented athlete, so he's going to get that chance.
That's what I always said about the Birdman when he was playing in the NBA, Chris Anderson. You know, I'm like, I don't mind second chances, but this guy has done some things that would probably keep him out of any other job anywhere ever.
Yeah.
And he's been given more than one extra chance. It's not a second chance. It's a third, fourth, fifth chance. And at some point, you're just kind of wondering, will they get it right? Will they understand what they've done wrong? And will they make the effort to fix that? And obviously, Kareem Hunt has to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just going to go out and play for the Browns in week one, first of all, because the NFL is definitely going to suspend him.
Yes.
I don't know how long.
Adam Schefter says 10 to 12 games is what he thinks, because there's multiple instances.
Yeah, exactly. So this is not a situation where he's just going to go out and play right away, but at the same time, he's got to understand that he's got this second team that he needs to be better with. And like you said, hopefully being at home might help him in that regard. Being around family and understanding that he's got a support system there might help him in that regard. But, yeah, there's a lot of things stacked up against Kareem Hunt that people aren't talking about.
No. John Dorsey, you know, I understand the relationship he has with Kareem Hunt. It makes sense. He goes at Cleveland, and it could be a good or a bad thing being next to a whole bunch of old friends and family. We shall see. The Browns, really, to me, it's not a major risk. They're paying him $1 million for a one-year contract, very cheap. And if he gets suspended for 8, 9, 10 games, they're going to be paying him $1 million to play, what, 5, 6 games? which if they make the playoffs, that could end up being a great move because we know he's still a talented player. If he can keep himself, you know, clean and sober, I would say. And I would think that John Dorsey, the fact that he's giving Kareem Hunt a second chance, when we say to a second team in the NFL, I would think Kareem Hunt, if he played well for five or six games, wouldn't you think he would then re-sign with Cleveland after the one-year deal instead of going somewhere else?
I think
the Browns would have to say
– comfortable if you're
right.
Kareem Hunt.
Right.
And if the Browns want you, there's no reason to go.
It would look really
else.
Bad if Kareem Hunt – the Browns give you a chance, you play five or six games, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to go get a three-year deal somewhere else. Of course, the Browns do have Nick Chubb, a talented young running back, Georgia, who ran for almost 1,000 yards.
I remember they got Browns Duke Johnson yesterday that we're not real happy about it because they don't really need a running back.
They don't think
right
they need one.
They're feeling pretty good with Chubb and Duke. So, yeah, I don't know.
Browns are going in the right direction. And, you know, it could be Browns and Chiefs atop the AFC for many years to come with Mayfield versus Mahomes. And then it'd be, you know, the X factor would be Kareem Hunt because the Chiefs didn't give him the fifth or sixth chance and the Browns did, which I hear people going, the Chiefs missed an opportunity. They should have, you know, made amends and brought him back and get the help that he needed. You know, maybe, yes or no, but he lied to them. And on top of that, they gave him a couple of chances. And the media in Kansas City, it's amazing all these people are up in uproar and like, oh, we got to let go of Kareem Hunt or we got to suspend him. Then all of a sudden, you're so close to making it to the Super Bowl, and now that's all forgotten by Chiefs fans, these certain Chiefs fans. And they just say, well, you know, and they did you just forget what has happened? Like two, three months ago? Did you forget the video? Did you forget what he did? Did you know there's more than one instance? Of course you do. But you conveniently forget all that because now you think, well, if we had Kareem Hunt, we would have beat the Patriots. Convenient. That's all I'm going to say. All right, Kyler Murray makes his decision. He's going to go NFL. What a tough conundrum he had. Should I go pro in baseball or pro in football? What shall I do? Man, I wish I had that tough decision in life. He's going to go to the NFL. Kirk Herbstreit said last night he thinks he's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft at 5'9", quarterback. Mel Kiper says top 10 draft pick. 2 weeks ago, third round draft pick. Isn't that crazy? Cliff Kingsbury is the head coach of Arizona Cardinals. They have Josh Rosen. Doesn't fit Cliff Kingsbury's offense at all. He loves Kyler Murray. He joked about a few months ago, if I was an NFL coach, first pick, I'd take Kyler Murray. Guess what? He's the head coach of the Cardinals. They have the first pick.
Yeah.
He could take Kyler Murray. Murray's going to blow everybody off the charts when it comes to the combine, his speed and everything else. People think he's a running quarterback. He's not. He does everything from the pocket. He makes great plays, good reads, and then he can run from the pocket.
He's got a cannon, too.
He's got a cannon. Yeah. He makes good decisions. I think he's Baker Mayfield, except he possibly could be better. He's not as tall. He's definitely faster. I think his reads are about as good or better than probably just as good as Baker. Doesn't have as good a vision because he's a little bit shorter. I think Kyler Murray's going to be an interesting NFL quarterback. I don't know if I take him number one, but if he fits your system, that's the guy you want. That's what the Browns did. Everybody said Baker was too short.
I didn't think I'd take Baker number one, so, you know,
All of a sudden, all these people are talking over the years, well, you're too short to play quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, you see Russell Wilson. Patrick Mahomes isn't super tall. Russell Wilson, and now you've got Drew Brees, of course, all these years, and then you have Baker Mayfield. I think people are tending to forget about how tall you are. It's just, can you play? And that's how it should have always been, in my opinion. So those short guys have broke down the barrier.